troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake.
Now is at stake.
Humbling your heart to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore. Free from all care.
Free from all care.
Rising up in the sky. Telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly. Glory to share. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound.
Heavenward bound.
Heavenward bound.
That was Jamie Daly and Darren Vincent singing Jesus is Coming Soon. Good morning to you all. Tertullian said, in about the year of our Lord 210, for us, murder is once for all forbidden. Even so, the child in the womb is not lawful for us to destroy. To forbid birth is only quicker murder. God gives us life and breath and all things. God gives children, and every single life that exists is a plan of God. Many of you believe that, and many of you recognize that, but it's good for us to be reminded from these passages of Scripture. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Luke 1:41-44. He makes the barren women to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Psalm 113:9. Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has a plan for your life, not just for the prophets, not just for the kings, but for your life. God has a plan because he has the very same love for you to bring you into this world. However, many have never wanted to follow God's plan. Psalm 106. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Genesis 9:6. Whoso shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Exodus 20:13. Thou shalt not kill. Deuteronomy 5:17. Thou shalt not kill. Mark 10:19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. James 2:11. He that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Revelation 21:8. The fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Amen. Some have never wanted to follow God's plans. When it comes to the issue of abortion, I want you to consider the so-called doctors. It used to be that when someone wanted to become a doctor, that it was a matter of course, I believe, that they should take the Hippocratic Oath, that they should swear that they would do no harm. And yet the white robes that they don nowadays, if it's somebody working in a so-called abortion clinic, actually become the white robes of the butcher, which are stained with much more than the blood of calves. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person. How is it that they can swear, I will do no harm, and then harm the most innocent and the most defenseless of our people? Romans 1:28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things that are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, without natural affection. How is it that somebody cannot love their own? How is it that the life that God has entrusted to you, and put within your womb, and has a plan for, that you can so casually throw that life away? Without natural affection. There is such thing as a family love. This love binds us together within our families, prompts us to look after each other, and causes us to, you know, take each other's side. But how can you go against the one that you yourself have made? Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, against them which commit such things. The powers that be, the government, surely they should be protectors of life, but they are not. Isaiah 59:7, their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood, their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Jeremiah 22:3, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow. Neither shed innocent blood in this place. Jeremiah 22:17. But thine eyes and thine heart are but for covetousness, and to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. What does the Lord hate? Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Amos 1, verse 13. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. I will not give a woman an instrument to procure an abortion. Hippocrates, about 460 to 377 years before Christ. The moral and political climate of our country is such that people need to wake up. Mainline churches, so-called, no longer take a stand against abortion. In some cases, they even promote it. Back in the 90s, I was looking at some literature, and it listed a group of religious churches, religious groups of different kinds, and they were in the Coalition for Abortion Rights. That's right, actually promoting the people having an ability to abort their own babies. There were a variety of religious groups mentioned there, and I'm thankful to say that many of those groups, or at least some of them, seem to have been pared down in recent days, but I thought, who's still in it? Who's still pushing for women to destroy the life of their own babies in their womb? And so, you can go out to the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice in the modern day, and in 2010, they still list various groups, some of them from so-called mainline churches, in their number. That is, that actually promote abortion. Various ones, for example, the Episcopal Church, Humanist Judaism, whatever that's supposed to be, Presbyterian Church, USA, Reconstructionist Judaism, Reform Judaism, and after I'd read all those Old Testament passages, notice they do not list Orthodox here, and that's because these groups believe that they have progressed, they have reformed beyond what, you know, those Orthodox people used to believe. The United Church of Christ, so-called, the General Board of Church and Society for the United Methodist Church, the General Board of Global Ministries for the United Methodist Church, Women's Division, the Unitarian Universalists, and various caucuses and organizations. How is it that they could support something like abortion? How is it, my friend, that you support something like abortion? You say, well, oh, I don't support abortion. Well, let me ask you this. Are you sending money to an organization that in turn supports abortion? Are you supporting a group, whether they call themselves political, societal, or whatever, that turns around and does things to promote abortion? And you may say, well, I don't do it for that reason. Well, then why do you support them? I'm pleading with you. You know that I don't believe, when it comes to churches, any organization above the congregational level anyway, because the Bible doesn't mention it. But even if you did believe in that, how in the world could you send your money to an organization or board that supports abortion, that promotes it? I just don't understand that. Even if we disagree on the organization of the church, I just don't understand how you can send your money to that kind of thing. How can you not demand that the national organization pull its funding for such boards, for such organizations? How can you not stand up for what you actually believe in? God knows what you support. And not just in your religious organizations. God knows what you support in that voting booth. God knows what you support with your money, in your family, and in your personal conversations. What can I do, you might say? What could anybody do about this problem of abortion? How could we possibly make any kind of difference personally? Well, there are some ways that we can make a difference. First of all, I want to suggest to you that you pray. The best defender of children is God. God Himself will take care of them. God Himself will look after them. and be for them. And if you don't believe me, just look at what the Scripture says. In the book of Exodus, does he not indicate that he is for the children? In Exodus 22, and in verses 22 and 23, it says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry." Now, I know that we're not talking about what people traditionally think of as widows or orphans, but is not a child whose parents don't even care for them and wants to get rid of their life and wants to kill them, is that not just as well as being an orphan child? And if God sees every single widow, and if God knows the needs of the orphans, then surely he sees the needs and he knows the needs of that baby inside his mother's womb. How in the world can people think that God is not looking down? And he's not looking at what they're doing to their own children. "I will surely hear their cry," God says, "and my wrath will become hot." You know, we understand that when we look at the New Testament as well. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 18, and down in verse 10 he says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now you think about that with me for just a moment. I'm not worried about those little babies that are aborted. I know the Lord takes care of them. What I'm worried about is when they line up before God at the day of judgment. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that I've done wrong in life. But one thing I do not want to hear is when they're lined up before God and all the souls of the earth have to deal with the one who made them. And as God is about to pronounce judgment on your soul, if you're one of those doctors that performed an abortion, if you're one of those parents who wanted to kill your own child, if you're one of those nurses and attendants, oh, you think about that. When the angel of God speaks unto the Father as he's about to pronounce judgment on your soul and says, this one right here, he hurt one of your little ones. What does Jesus say? The angels look over them. It would have been better if that person had never been born. It would have been better if a millstone had been hanged about their neck and they had been thrown into the deepest parts of the sea than to have to answer before God at the day of judgment for not having loved babies. Terrible thing that we have going on in our society today. You consider what I mentioned a moment ago about those nurses and attendants. They're not without any responsibilities here. They wear upon them something is called a caduceus. In the Old Testament, the people got sick because they were being bitten by serpents, and Moses put up a brazen serpent. And when people looked on that, they would be healed according to their obedience to God. And even till today, people wear that around their necks, and that symbol of the serpent going up the pole, this caduceus, it's something that they, you know, have around them, these nurses and their attendants and the people that see to others in the medical field. How in the world can they have that dangling around their neck while all the time they're doing the very opposite of healing and instead destroying life? "I will do no harm," they say. And yet that's exactly what is being done today. Can anyone think that the protection of God is going to be upon this country and continue to bless us if we are going to continue to do this to our own children? Pray, ladies and gentlemen. Pray, brothers and sisters in Christ. The best defender of God, of children, is God, God Himself. He looks over them, angels attend unto them, and God will make it all right in the end. But in the meantime, I know sometimes you feel like my hands are tied. What can I do? You start by prayer. You pray for those little children, and pray that every one of those people that we have mentioned will turn around and begin to see the light of day and begin to understand the truth about what they're doing. Secondly, I want you to consider another suggestion for action, that you engage the mother with meekness and plead with her. If you ever hear of anyone that is considering having an abortion, then all you have to do is just make sure that you have the best influence on them that you can. You can't tie them up and put them down in a dungeon and force them. God never said that we're supposed to be vigilantes. And that's where some people mess it up out in society today, you know, bombing abortion clinics and waylaying and killing the so-called doctors and everything and clinicians outside of it. That's not what the Lord said to do. Can you imagine Jesus doing something like that? You don't want to go down to somebody else's level. But instead, what you want to do is to plead with that mother. Please don't do this. Someone will love your children. Somebody will take care of your child. I'll see to it. But just let your baby live. And talk to them very directly, very lovingly, and try to convince them of the goodness of life. Realize that people that are even considering an abortion, they don't have the same kind of privileges that you have. They don't have the same kind of appreciation that you do. They don't understand the biblical warnings about not having natural affection. They have to be taught love. They have to be shown love. You have to appeal to any vestige of their conscience that they may have left for them to allow their baby to be born into this world. Thirdly, if you're looking for something to do, then maybe if you're talking to one of these mothers or somebody in the family, you can direct them to specific people and organizations that can help them. For example, if you're listening in this area, around Monroe County and going up as you're headed toward Bowling Green and so forth, then all you have to do is tell them, look, let's contact Potter Children's Home. And there are some people over there, some family counselors and everything. And if you've got a bad situation here where you're afraid of the father or, you know, there are different things that go on in families and it's really a deplorable thing, then maybe we can provide so that you can have some shelter and so that you can get the kind of help that you need so that you don't do such a thing to your own child and so that you're able to make it. You can get through. There are people here to help. And not just Potters, but there's another organization. I think they might be headquartered out of Nashville, but many of you may have heard of them. You could look them up on the internet in different places, but Agape. And they would provide services so that you make sure that your child can live. Many other organizations that exist. You can contact a local chapter of the National Right to Life. They could put you in contact with somebody that could help. All kinds of specific people out there and organizations, adoptions agencies, you know, places that will help you through the time of pregnancy and get you the nourishment that you need and everything. All kinds of help out there. Even from the same government that encourages abortion nowadays, there's all kinds of help. If somebody just seeks out the right source, you can find it. And therefore, there's just no excuse to want to put your baby to death. I'd like to add this as well. Those who believe in abortion, they deserve no mercy for their doctrine. Challenge them. You want to know what to do? Challenge them if they ever speak up around you. You're going to tell me that it's good for a mother to kill their baby? Oh, that's not a baby inside them, you say. And then talk to them about how ridiculous that is. Wait a minute, you're telling me that the mother goes in there to labor. Does she have a baby in her or not? And this is where they start hedging with you. Well, aren't you tell me then, where does life begin? And if they turn it around to you and say, well, you tell me, then you tell them God gives the life. God gives it. And only He has the right. Only He has the power. How dare you try to tell Him when He puts a soul in somebody? The fact of the matter is, the Bible is very clear that that baby inside the mother's womb is a baby. And it's not up for us to make decisions about, well, I don't think that, the baby is going to do well in life, so therefore I'm going to take the baby's life. No, it's a precious child. God has plans for this life, and He wants those plans to be fulfilled. If you take their life now, then you think about it. The life that you take, these children, they'll never laugh, never sing, never experience the joy of human love, not even the love from their mother. They will not strive to heal the sick, feed the poor. If you abort them, they'll not make peace among nations. Abortion denies them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poorer for their loss. We are poorer not simply for the lives not led and for the contributions not made, but also for erosion of our sense of worth and dignity of every individual. To diminish the value of one category of human life is to diminish us all. So said Ronald Reagan. I can't really put it much better than President Reagan did. If we don't help our children, what's next? If you don't stand up for the children, then exactly what are you going to stand up for? And for whom? I mentioned before about how that you can have people today that don't connect the dots. They'll be a part of an organization and send their money in to support something they don't believe in. What if right now I decided, you know, somebody sees me, I'm sealing an envelope, licking it shut, and I'm mailing it off, putting it in the mail. What do you got in there? Oh, I got wrote a check out. Well, who'd you write the check out to? Oh, it's some sort of jihadist group over there in Pakistan, Afghanistan, someplace like that. And they said, you know, they needed a little help, and I just figured I'd give them a little money. Well, you don't believe in that. You don't like terrorism or anything. No, no, I don't believe in that. But, hey, you know, they asked for some help, and, you know, it's a free country, so I figured I'd send them a little money. You'd think that was ridiculous. And yet people today, they act like, no, didn't bother me any. Why, yes, that's a good old boy. No, I can't stand anything he believes in, but, oh, he's a good old boy. I know about him. I think I'll vote for him. Well, he believes in killing children. Well, that doesn't bother me any. Well, here's an organization over here. I've already talked to you about some of them that are having problems with this. Oh, you send money to them nationally. Yeah. Do you know what they support? Oh, yeah, I do now. But I'll just keep on sending it in. Doesn't bother me any. No, it's all right. Doesn't bother me. When is it going to start to bother people? Will it start to bother them when instead of coming for the very young, they come for the very old? What if they start coming for your grandparents and say, no health services for you? You say, you're getting old. Oh, why don't you just go ahead and die? I mean, why don't you get out of the way here? You see, you're not productive to society anymore. You're just not as human. I mean, after all, if we can kill the very young, why can't we kill the very old? They're already doing it in certain parts of the earth. They just rush you right on out the door. Is that what you really want for America today? What about the very infirm? What about those who have mental difficulties? Things like that. Is that really what determines your humanity? Whether or not you're infirm or whether or not you have mental difficulties? Come on. You know better than that. Each one is a precious soul in the eyes of God, and each one has the same kind of rights as you and I. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we say here in America. What happened to the right to life? Ladies and gentlemen, every life is a plan of God. Every life is one that God wants to prosper and that He has big plans for them to accomplish many good things. I bring to your remembrance once again the passage I mentioned before in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What big plans does God have for that unborn child inside that mother? How could she ever snuff out those plans and say that my idea of a fun and a convenient life is more important than the life that God gave to my baby? Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray for those children. Let's do what we can to eliminate America of the scourge of abortion. And let's cause each one of us to respect one of the most fundamental rights that we recognize in this country among many of our people, even still, the right to life.